know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Hangover Edition. We've been joined by a fine guest, a friend of ours. He is the returning champ. He's Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. Rick, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Mike. How are you today, man?
I am a little hungover, but otherwise well. Had a little soiree at the bar last night. Rick, had a little election going on, a little partisan primary in the state of Pennsylvania where you broadcast from. And I got to start with the top of the gubernatorial GOP ticket. First and foremost, how do you pronounce the name of the Trump-loving insurrectionist that won the nomination?
You mean Benito Mastriano?
Yeah, about? Yeah, that guy.
Senator Doug Mastriano. Yeah, that is. Look, there was no surprise that he was going to be the guy who won the primary because, the party in this state has gone crazy. And he brings all of the worst possible policy chops with him. In the event that he wins, Pennsylvania will be immediately Alabama, or as he wanted to say, he wants us to be the Florida of the Northeast.
What a lovely comparison. Can't wait till the alligators start swimming out of the ponds. Let me ask you this. Does he have any chance of winning in the fall, Rick, this Benito Mastriano guy?
Look, anything can happen. Again, as you know, any election, it's about turnout. Midterms, these midterm elections, it's all about excitement. It's about turnout. I love the fact that John Fetterman is on the Senate side of this, won his campaign. We'll talk about that. He brings a lot of energy. I think Josh Shapiro, who's going to be the Democratic candidate, I think he brings a lot of energy. He's a good guy. He's a good
Shapiro
candidate.
Is the gubernatorial candidate that'll go against the Mastriano guy.
Josh Shapiro is he's the attorney general right now. He won during the Trump year. So he's a guy who he can win, does have broad support, can pull some Republican support as well. But it's like anything, you know, it's who shows up to vote. You know, this is that midterm. It's that, you know, with the inflation situations, with a lot of the stuff going on, I don't like rolling the dice. So I'm telling people this could be the last election Pennsylvania ever has because Mastriano was in D.C. on January 6th. He led a series of buses down to D.C. His intent going to Washington that day was to stop the steal. He wanted to stop the certification of that election. I know there's been a lot of, no, we were there for a rally. We were there for a picnic. We were there for a tour, for any other day. No, nonsense. They were there for the stated goal, Mike, of stopping the election. That's what they said. It was in the name, stop the steal. They believed the election was stolen. They were there to do whatever they could do to stop it from happening. And this rewrite of history, I think we have to keep talking about. Now, Mastriano, in his defense, and I give him credit. He is somebody who is doubling, tripling, quadrupling down. Because in his speech last night, he said last night, no, I'm not going to be one of those guys who moves to the center. No, I'm going further crazy. And we're gonna deliver those electoral votes to, well, whoever our 2024 nominee is going to be. So he's already predicting he's going to have his thumb on the scale if he's governor for whoever the Republican may be. I don't know that I want that in a governor. Yeah. Just kind of throwing that out there.
Well, Rick, Rick Smith, my fine guest, he is the host of the Rick Smith Show originating from Pennsylvania. Well, Rick, at least he's forward looking. And, you know, so much of this stop the steal. And we read an article, or I shared part of an article from Greg Sargent at the Washington Post on this very guy. And effectively, he's saying he will change the outcome, if possible, of the next election. Because only the legislature has the power to select the electors. And, you know, if you don't like the Democrat who might have won, well, you know, then we'll have someone else selected.
He still wants to change the last election. I don't know why you're focused on the next one. He wants to change the last one. And he's been open about that. Look, at the end of the day, Mastriano, and the reason I call him Benito Mastriano is simple. The guy's a fascist. It is that simple. And I'll say that because it's true. And the sooner we wake up in Pennsylvania, the reality that we are one election away from having a fascist as a governor, someone who wants to put his thumb on the scale, someone who wants to ensure that the right guy gets the electoral votes. Maybe the sooner we come back to some bit of sanity and the Republican Party finds their soul. And I keep telling my Republican friends, please take your party back somewhere near the sane line. The Republican Party I grew up knowing and believing in didn't hate workers, didn't hate women, didn't hate consumers, didn't hate our government, didn't hate voting. They embraced those things. This is the time for the Republicans. Please take your party back somewhere near the sane line.
Well, let's talk about the senatorial race. And you mentioned John Fetterman, and he's a very compelling figure, a massive man at like 6'8", the bald head, the hoodies, and the advocacy for legalizing marijuana. I think that's a smart choice. And clearly he was rewarded against the more moderate Connor Lamb. Any thoughts on Fetterman before we talk about the Republicans?
I think the Fetterman race and the Summer Lee race out in the western part of the state for Congress really is about Democratic candidates embracing working class values. It's pretty simple. When a candidate fully embraces working class values, they're rewarded with votes. It's not rocket science. I think Harry Truman said it back years ago. You know, when you give a voter the choice between a Republican and a Democrat who acts like a Republican, they're going to choose the real deal every time. This is one of these moments. John Fetterman walks the walk, talks the talk, and one of those guys who truly believes and lives what he says. I've known John for about 15 years. I consider him a friend. Had him on the show numerous times over the years. This is a guy who lives what he talks about. Lives in one of the poorest communities in this state, Braddock, Pennsylvania. Was the mayor there for years. And the work that he did in that community to help bring jobs and to help the poverty-ridden folks there is a testament to where he's at now. And for me, this is the message. You embrace working class values, you embrace unions, you embrace healthcare, you embrace the things that are gonna make people's lives better. And you don't have to be one of these TV polished politicians who, you know, delivers a good line. You gotta be someone who's authentic. And John Fetterman is that authentic kind of guy. Now, the fact that he's 6'8", you know, big guy like me, he walks into a room, he gets attention. The shorts and the hoodie, gives him that kind of authentic, you know, credibility, a guy you want to sit and have a beer with and really have a beer with. Someone who in a bar fight, you know, yeah, he's going to have your back. I've been saying for a long time, the Democratic Party, you know, they're, you know, if there's a bar fight, they're going to offer to hold your coat. This is a guy who's going to get their ball some digits up and throw some punches. And I think that's why Pennsylvania went overwhelmingly for him over a centrist, very moderate Democrat in Connor Lee. Connor Lamb. I mean, pretty simple.
Let me ask you this. My understanding is Fetterman has not sought any endorsements, and he's not embracing the party politic. That's not the way people usually run, you know, senatorial campaigns. Rick, obviously, it worked in the primary, but is this a new way of doing things, or is he just a unique candidate?
He's a unique candidate, but I do believe it comes back to what I talk about on my show all the time. This idea of empowering citizens, empowering workers, and grassroots organizing. You know, John Fetterman has put in the work. This is the message to candidates. As a candidate, he's hit every one of Pennsylvania's 67 counties, which is why he won every county. He goes into every bar, every diner, every you name it. He is there shaking hands and meeting people and talking and listening to their issues and embracing them. And not just the choir. You know, this is the important part for Democrats. You can't just listen to the people who agree with you. He talks to the people who they don't agree with him. You know, he goes into those groups that, you know, may be absolutely opposed, and he will make his case. And I think this is what we have to do as Democrats, live our values, absolutely, but be willing to debate them vigorously and defend them when we have to. And also, you know, when someone doesn't agree, go, okay, that's your right. And keep fighting forward. I think that's what John's really done very well.
Well, let's talk about the field that would hope to oppose John Fetterman. Speaking with Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. It plays out right here on the Shaw and also Devil Radio here in Madison. Rick originates from Pennsylvania, and we're talking about the primary, the partisan primary there yesterday. So we know Fetterman is the Democratic choice or the Democrats' choice. But we don't know quite yet who's going to represent the Republicans. And my understanding is people were sort of cheering for this Barnett woman. Sort of crazy, apparently. Fringer, but she was rising in the polls with the bullet. But apparently, Rick, she didn't pass Dr. Oz and the hedge fund guy. She is bemoaning the fact that Sean Hannity weighed in and apparently has been doing some consultancy work for Dr. Oz.
The reality is, and this is a testament to Pennsylvania and I think a lot of the Republican Party. If she were able to check off the old white guy look like a thumb box, like the guy on the gubernatorial side, I think she would have walked away with this campaign. Hmm. The fact that you're talking about an African-American woman, there's a lot of problems in the GOP with that in pulling the lever. Now, a lot of people go, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. That's the reality. You got a TV, quack doctor and a Chinese affiliated businessman going head to head, throwing millions of dollars, eating each other, and a black woman who's literally crazy. I mean, she is more Trump than Trump. She is further to the extreme on the issues than either Oz or McCormick. She is where the Mastriano crowd want her to be, but she came in third. And all I can come up with is the obvious. She couldn't check that old white guy that looks like a thumb box.
Rick Smith, our president, Joe Biden, has often claimed Scranton, Pennsylvania is his hometown. And all the polling I see, Rick, is depressing in terms of people's opinions of Joe Biden. Either he's leaving the left wanting or, he's tyrannical and driving up inflation as far as the right's concerned. Rick, what do you think Joe Biden's role will be in Pennsylvania politics in this midterm? And is he a drag? Will a guy like Fetterman say thanks, but no thanks?
Marty will. I think Fetterman's brand is John Fetterman. He was lieutenant governor here, for 8 years. He's got a good name. He's got a lot of young energy around him. I think he stays right where he's at. I think he continues to run the campaign that he ran, and in the way he's running it, if I were advising him, I wouldn't embrace. Now, I wouldn't shun the president away, of course not, but I don't know that I would necessarily court that kind of attention. And look, you look at places like Scranton, you look at places like Pittsburgh, you look at the industrial might that once was the heart of this country. It's all about how bad our trade deals have been, all about how bad our policies have been. That's encouraged deindustrialization and mass consolidation. This idea that we've given corporate America everything that they could want in the hopes that we would create benevolent dictators who would eventually bestow jobs upon us. It hasn't worked. And that anger that those communities are feeling, just like Wisconsin, I mean, Janesville and other places, Milwaukee, that have lost those good union jobs over the years, that wasn't their fault. That was bad trade deals. That was horrible corporate policy making. And it was because of the people that we voted for. I'm hoping this election that we can get people elected into office who stand on solid working class ground and are going to fight to undo some of the damage of the past. That's what this election means to me.
Rick, what about Roe v. Wade? Obviously, we've seen a leak of the, draft opinion, and it seems to foretell of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. As a electoral issue, do you see that as a motivator for Pennsylvania voters, or does it just activate those that would have already voted anyways?
Well, it's going to activate those who would vote anyway. But this had better be that issue that the Democrats fully embrace, because it's more than just about the abortion issue. This is about so much more. This is about the right of self-determination, the right to privacy. There is so much more to this. And any of us who know or love women, this is about their future and the future of my daughters or anyone's daughters. The ability to have control over one's body is the ultimate freedom that once taken away can't be regained. And for me, this is, as an old 55-year-old white guy, it's not my issue. But I understand what this means to my daughters. I understand what this means for a generation of women who sadly could be controlled by zealots.
Rick's-
charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back, Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. Rick, didn't mean to run you into a heartbreak there, man. Sorry about that. Rick, I do have a few more questions for you. I appreciate you sticking around. Here, let's start with this. What do you think's the most important issue? We talked about Roe v. Wade, but, you know, the thing that's sticking in my craw is the whole January 6th, this attempt to overturn democracy effectively, and the lack of accountability, let's just say. We know the pawns, the insurrectionists, the violent mob. Well, they're being charged, they're being convicted, they're being jailed for some, you know, short-term sentences typically. But the organizers, the inciters of this mob, those that would have, you know, schemed to overturn the Electoral College count, well, I haven't seen any accountability, whether it's elected Republicans, whether it's the former president. I mean, I'm waiting on Merrick Garland. But this issue, each and every day, it just tears at my soul, Rick. And I cannot move beyond this issue to talk about things like, you know, where's the baby formula? It's just unimportant relative to, you know, the chance that we could lose democracy if we go vote or allow too many of our friends to go vote Republican. So, I mean, do you share my angst?
Yeah, I've been saying, you know, since January 6th that, you know, the reality is we should have been having hearings already. We should have been having perp walks, lots of them, and not the people who defecated on the floor or urinated on the desk or broke windows. Those were the dupes. Those were the people who got riled up and pointed in the direction and aimed. I wanted the moneyed interest. I wanted the people who funded the buses. I wanted the people who spent the hundreds of thousands of dollars to put that whole thing on. I wanted the people behind it. I wanted the message makers. I wanted the people who were finding out, who were behind the coup attempt. And look, we now know them. There are memos. The amazing thing, and this is where history, I have great faith that history will look back on this moment and go, you know, this was a coup attempt, and how stupid they were to record and write their treason down in memo form or on Parler or in every, you know, electronic meme way possible so that they could look at it and use it. Now, it's our job to make sure that we hold them accountable. Sadly, Democrats in their zeal to cross every T and dot every I have allowed the Republican chaos merchants and outrage candy machine to spin a narrative. It was just another day, Mike. There was a picnic atmosphere. It was a family day. No, this was an insurrection. This was a coup attempt. They knew exactly what they were doing. Trump knew exactly what he was doing and why. And why they were there was to stop the certification of the election. That was their stated goal from the beginning. Any other reason is total bunk. Stop the steal was very clear. And if you read the Parler, you read the social media posts of the day, they were going there to stop the certification of that election. And we have to remember that because they believed that if they could get it into the House of Representatives, that's how they were going to win the election. Because when Trump was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a couple of weeks earlier before that, he even said that. He couldn't help himself. There's a guy with diarrhea of the mouth. You tell him something, it has to come out. That's what he told the audience there. You know, if we could just get it into the House, we can win with 26 votes. And most people didn't know what he was talking about. But he did. And this is why I think we have to have hearings. And they better be very public. They better be on every network. They better be everywhere. And we better be talking about it every day, because you're right. If we can't save what little bit of democracy we've got left, fascists like Benito Mastroianni will rig the next election and steal the next election.
He is Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show. He's the fine host thereof. Rick, here's the good news, bad news. We're going to play the June 9th hearings in real time right here on this network. The bad news is, man, you might get preempted. Rick, let me ask you, here in the state of Wisconsin, we were one of those very important swing states, right? And Pennsylvania's one, and Michigan was one, and Arizona and a few others, Georgia. Rick, they seated false electors. There were 10 false electors, and they were all Republican Party, you know, heads, county party chairs, things. Hell, the Republican Party chairman in the state of Wisconsin was a false elector on behalf of Donald Trump. Now, our Elections Commission, and it's a bipartisan feckless agency. No offense to a few of my friends that serve on it, but it was created not to have any teeth. And apparently they came to the decision under Wisconsin law. There is no clear Wisconsin law that says you can't go be a false elector. But this was fraud being perpetrated, man. If I went and signed something like that on a loan document, hell, my bank would either put me in foreclosure or they'd turn me over to the FBI. So my question is, Rick, what is being done in the state of Pennsylvania? You guys had false electors as well, did you not?
Sure, but in their false statements, there was a caveat along the lines of, in the event that this is overturned, these are our electors. So they weren't actually saying these are the electors. They had that little caveat in there that, well, we're not claiming these are the electors just yet. They're the ones in the event that it gets overturned. So that's kind of been their way out of
a this. Please don't throw me in jail clause they wrote into their insurrectionist electors scheme.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the second you sent that to the National Archives, the next day there should have been people knocking on their door with shiny bracelets, marching them off. And I'm still going, why has it taken so long to do any of this stuff? If it were you or me or anyone else, any of our listeners, we'd be going to jail. Same thing with these people. My representative, Scott Perry, I don't know why he's not going to jail for ignoring a subpoena. He has been subpoenaed to testify. He's refusing. If it were you or me, they'd be knocking on my door, dragging me in there, slamming me in there. Now I've got the right to plead the fifth, and so does he. I want him in that seat pleading the fifth.
You know, Rick, ironically, the very same week these false electors went to the Wisconsin State Capitol, and there were the real democratically elected electors, and then there were the false electors. And then me and my crew also showed up because it was a locked capital and the Republicans were doing a little jackassery. They were doing COVID spreading Christmas carols and set up their own Christmas tree. Well, not to be outdone, we showed up with the devil tree, Rick. We dropped it. We sang our own carols and, you know, covered the big event. And we were cited for entering a locked building, the very same locked building, the very same week. I mean, we got tickets. We're fighting it, believe me. But we were cited for entering a locked building without permission or cause. Well, at minimum, I want to see these false electors have to go through the same legal process I do.
Yeah, and again, it's when you're talking about the power of the elites, this is what supposedly Republicans are against. And I keep bringing this up to my Republican friends going, look, you're against the elites. You want to drain the swamp. You are the swamp. This is the kind of stuff you're supposed to be against.
It is pretty swampy. Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. It plays 8 to 10 Central Time right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. Rick, look forward to listening to your show every night except for June 9th when it's going to be preempted for the January 6th hearings. We're playing them live. Rick, I'll tune in later tonight. Thanks for joining me on the Devil's Advocates.
Beautiful stuff, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Come back. Hour two is next. Dom's joining the party. It's right now.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.